Oh my God. I don't have the information in front of me. This is the plugs part. This is the worst one I've ever done. There's no background music because I woke up somewhere in Champaign, Illinois, and forgot this was due. And so here's the plugs. And for first-time listeners, it doesn't normally sound like this into an iPhone. When does this come out tonight? Okay, it'll be too late by the time this comes out, so let's start with Thursday at the Pyramid Scheme in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I'll be performing there. Okay, Friday, the Crow Football Room in Detroit, my friend Brooke Van Poplin will be my opening act. Saturday, the Taft Theater in Cincinnati, Ohio, and I think I'm getting the days wrong. Wednesday, sorry, okay, start over. Wednesday, this is the worst, but I'm keeping it because it's probably the only amusing thing that'll happen. Wednesday, Grand Rapids, Michigan, at the Pyramid Scheme. Thursday, the Crow Football Room in Pontiac, Michigan. I say Detroit. You know what I mean, it's half hour away. Friday, the Taft Theater in Cincinnati, Ohio. Saturday, the Rex Theater in Pennsylvania. I mean, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And that is the end of the small Midwest tour before I die. And then Sunday, I have off, if that's okay with you. I fly to Montreal. And then Monday through something, I'm at the Montreal Comedy Festival with a show that no one will come to. So come see me perform for 10 people a night and just look at how awful everything is. And all of this is on my website, jenkirkman.com/tour dates. Also, oh shit, I don't have it written down in front of me. My two friends of mine have really great albums, and I was going to plug them. Fuck, I think I'm going to actually be proactive and open my computer and tell you that. No, I can't even find it. Oh no, here's my computer. Okay, I'm going to open it and tell you. Oh, I have to do the Wi-Fi in the room. Never mind. My friend Allison Castillo has a funny album, Forever. I believe it's called Forever 31, and I'm a dick if I don't remember it, which is downloadable on iTunes. And I was going to play a clip, but I just can't get that shit together right now. But yeah, let me look it up. Here it is. If you want to laugh at a hilarious album, please go to iTunes. I think it's on iTunes. Oh my God, this is the worst thing. Okay, forget it. Never mind. Well, I'll plug that efficiently next week. I should put some music behind this because I've really fucked you guys over with this. I've really fucked you guys over. The other thing I need to plug is if you go to YouTube and click in the Justin Root Show, one of my favorite little things I've ever done. I mean, say little things, that was condescending, on the internet. Super fun. That is the way that you have a good time with someone for people in the future. Oh, shit. Or looking to do interviews. Does this make it better that this is in the background? And if you want to go see the official, now I don't say this word fan, but the official fan page. What did I say? I would call it the official fan club president, for lack of a better word. Our website called Fuck Yeah, Jen Kirkman. It's on Tumblr. Run by the inimitable Lloyd Dobler. Not the guy from Say Anything. Go there. It has a completed download list of every podcast I've done. It has cool pictures from old things, things I forget I did. Check that out. Then, check out All Things Comedy. A lot of great podcasts on that network. They've been good to me. Go to the I Seem Fun Facebook page, facebook.com/iSeemFun. The Live, Laugh, Love woman has her own Twitter account. If you go to the I Seem Fun podcast Twitter account, it links from there. I tweeted about it. I don't have her account with me. Okay, great. Awful, awful intro. Better episode. Bye.
I see the fun. I see the fun. The Diary of Jack Kirkman
Podcast. I screwed up. Hang on, start over. All right. I seem fun. Of the Jack Kirkman Podcast. That's what I meant. Oh my God, it's the 101, episode 101. And it makes me think of the 101 freeway that goes through California. And the Ramones' brilliant cover of California Sun, one of the best songs ever written. Both versions. It makes me so happy. By the time you hear this, I believe I will not be in California. I'm recording this en advance. And I walk, and they walk. Oh, maybe I'll tell you my California girl story. So, and they fly. I think I will be, God willing, somewhere. Where will I be right now? I think I'm in the Detroit area right now. As you hear this. Right now, it's July 5th, and I'm in my bed in California. I bet I'll be missing L.A. by now. See, I do like L.A. in the summer, because nobody's here. And it's what I like about California. Sunshine. Which I get sick of sunshine when it's not when it's supposed to be. I don't like sunshine with my book writing in the month of November. That's when I want to be in New York. I also like being in New York in the summer. Oh my, I like a lot of things. Alrighty. But yeah, I'm recording these in advance. Did I say I Seem Fun, the Diary of Jen Kirkman? That's what you're listening to. I'm recording a lot of these in advance because I just know me. On the road, I will be, my schedule will not be a normal schedule, and I will not know when I'm going to be able to record. And I'm not bringing my microphone and rig with me. So I've knocked out two for two of the weeks that I'm on the road. The third week I'm on the road, I'm in Montreal. And I am doing a live podcast taping at the Montreal Comedy Festival. I doubt anyone's coming. It's at noon. I mean, no comedian is up at noon. I don't even want comedians in the audience. And then don't people work on Fridays at noon? I mean, who the fuck is coming to that? I don't understand it, but they're torturing me. So anyway, that will be recorded, and I fucking don't know if I'll release it. It might be terrible. Well, you guys would probably enjoy that, because I could still just talk to myself. That's the beauty of this podcast, is it's actually the live episodes suck. But before that live episode is taped, I will have to do one into my iPhone. So I wanted to keep the iPhone quality episodes at bay, although you can't really tell. But I will only do one for my iPhone. I'll do the intros for my iPhone as well. So you'll have brand new 5 to 10 minute intros for every episode from the road. But yeah, you had two in the can already. I love this. It reminds me of Back to the Beach. Great campy movie that was a favorite of mine in high school with Annette Funicello and Frankie Avalon. It's so good, you guys. It's like silly and stupid. And they drive out to California to see their daughter, and she's secretly living with a surfer. And then they have a pajama party, Annette and her daughter. And then they do beach dancing, and Pee Wee Herman makes a cameo in the ska band Fishbone. And it's a ridiculous movie, and their son's a punk rocker who wants to be tough. And it's really stupid, and it's a feel-good movie. But it's like a campy love letter to California. There was always something in me as a little girl, as much as I also loved smoking cigarettes and walking down the street in New York. I was always dual things. I had the James Dean posters of him in the rain in a trench coat. And then I also had like inflatable palm trees in my room. I was a torn child. As a teenager, it was get me out of here. I'm going to New York City. But the little kid in me was always like, I want to live somewhere tropical. And I liked the Beach Boys a lot, right? So I'm kind of both. My last year, I was really anti-California. I was losing my mind. But you have to understand, I had just come off of a writing job that may have looked like a fun thing to you guys, the Chelsea Lately Show, from the outside. And it was. We were there to entertain you, and I think we did a damn good job. And there was moments of happiness and joy all the time. Now, the moments that were televised were televised moments of happiness and joy. The real moments of happiness and joy, a lot of them were behind the scenes, and not in ways that would the average person would think is a moment of happiness. But me sitting with my good friend Chris in the office and just bitching, to me, that's a happy moment, right? Going, let's just fucking procrastinate for 10 minutes and walk to the coffee cart. But it was 100 degrees in the valley. We never could leave the building. You'd see all this people getting rich. And it was like very LA, you know, like everybody drives the same damn Range Rover. Everybody has this. I would just like too much TV world, too much LA. Every vacation was like, let's go to Cabo. Like there's just a certain lifestyle people get into when they're successful in LA and it sickens me. Just the heat. I had a book to write and it was just so fucking hot out. I just wanted to travel. I just like get me out of this desk, right? And then whenever I was in New York, I seemed to talk to my friends about other things besides television. And so it was nice. But now I think everything's on an even keel. I love both equally. And there are so many times when I'm in the mood for California. I would say the aspect of California I'm into now is just the beauty of it and hiking, and I love the beach, but I used to join this pool every summer and I'd sit out by it and just do nothing. I don't have time to do that this year because I'm traveling so much and there's too many details to take care of. So I'm more into active enjoyment this summer, which is socializing with people. But last year and the years before, I was working a writing job where it was like with a million loud people all day long, and on the weekends I was like, nobody talked to me. And I would sit by that pool by myself, unless I brought a friend once in a while. I actually think this lifestyle of going on the road alone works for me, because then when I'm home, I want to engage in friendships instead of just automatically having the friendships at work. And then my private time is mostly alone. I kind of like that my work time is its own thing and my social life is now very vibrant. It's been an interesting thing that I look back and go, oh, that's kind of a major shift. That's why I feel a little more fulfilled. I was kind of lonely hanging by that pool last year, but I was also like, well, I don't want to deal with anyone though. And now I get it. When you work and have friendships with people 8 hours a day, it's a lot to go home at night and want to see more people. And then you get stuck in this cult attitude of like, no one else knows what my life is like, so I'm only going to hang out with these people. Now I hang out with those same people, but we have our own lives and we come together and live our lives together. So I kind of like it better that way, that these were legitimately my good friends. Now I see them outside of a work environment, and it works better for me. Okay. Anyway, so I love the Back to the Beach movie. And so when I was little, you know, I both wanted to be the blonde surfer girl, and I also wanted to be the New York City dark and dramatic actress. And I've gone through both phases. You know, when I dyed my hair blonde years ago, it wasn't a Hollywood blonde thing. It was a nod to my surfer obsession. And I love surfing. And that's why I feel like if you talk to any surfer who's been bitten by a shark, they'll tell you it wasn't an attack. They got caught in an accident. I'm not sure, though. But surfers I have talked to do not see it as shark attacks. And when I cannot stand talking to people about shark attacks. It makes my head explode. Anyway, so I took a surfing lesson. I don't know if I told this story on the podcast, because I definitely did it a year before I started this podcast. And I think I talked about it on my friend Paul F. Tompkins' podcast. And I think that's probably why I never then talked about it on my own, because I thought, oh, there's too much crossover in the podcast world. And now I realize I have my own audience. And so I might tell that story, which there isn't much to tell, but I was like, it was the, you know, what was it? 2011. It was June, July of 2011. And I was going to, you know, I was like the single woman. It was like, I'm going to just try new things and I want to surf. And so, by the way, I don't really know how to swim. I mean, I understand the concept, but I don't like putting my face in the water and doing that breathing in, breathing out thing, because I get distracted and I will breathe in water, as I've done many times. When I was little, My mom took me to swimming lessons, and I didn't jive with it. We did all kinds of lessons. Dance was the only thing that stuck for me. Swimming, I was like, eh. I didn't like swimming or gymnastics. I didn't want to do anything risky with my body. And so, not that swimming is risky, but it just seemed unnecessary. I like to float around in a pool, kick around, hang onto the side of a pool, sit on one of those rafts. I can doggy paddle. I can butterfly was like, that just seemed crazy to me. People with goggles and breathing in and going under. It's like, oh my God, you're just asking to choke. I liked backstroke. Not even backstroke, just laying on my back and doing some weird. I do this weird version of something. I love that. I could sit in a pool for hours. So not anti-pool. I just don't know how to swim proper. But, and swimming in the ocean, I don't even know what the fuck that is. That is, to me, just asking. That's like saying, you know, hold still in the wind. Like, you're fighting nature. It doesn't look enjoyable. I like being in the ocean. Again, I'll float on something. I'll walk up to my stomach where I can still stand and just be in the ocean. But once those waves come, I'm like, oh my God, they're harsh. They throw a bitch over. So I don't know why I wanted to learn to surf. I just imagined that with my incredible balancing skills that I think I have, that I would be really good at it. And I wasn't. And I also thought once I'm up there, I just thought, like, once I'm in there, it'll change me, and then I'll be a surfer. And so I took this lesson at the Santa Monica Beach or whatever, and you got three lessons for, like, $150. Oh, my God, $150. I wouldn't even have time to surf because you work 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. You have weekends to surf, and you fucking know it. Well, I wouldn't spend that kind of money on something like that. And sharks do attack. That's why I love my children, and I won't even let them go in the public pool because they say now sharks can come through drains. And it's people like you that are all into animals instead of people that are going to hurt society. Oh, they're short-circuiting. Okay. I'm going through my old episodes and reading descriptions. Maybe I could have done that before I started recording. Oh, but it wouldn't be I Seem Fun, would it? Would it? Would it? So I go to the surf place. I bring my bathing suit. I mean, I wear my bathing suit. Let's see. I don't think I've talked about it. Yeah, so I go, I bring my bathing suit. I get there. I'm in the parking lot. The guy comes over. He's like, okay, we're ready. Here's a wetsuit. And I'm like, where do I put this on? Is there, like, as much as I'm, oh, surfing, man, and getting wet in the water, and I don't, you know, I'm not wearing makeup, and who cares about my hair, and it's fine if I break a nail, but then I'm like, is there like a nice ladies room to change into? He's like, no, you just do it at your car, and I'm like, what? So, it's not like the guy was looking, so I went behind my car, took off my clothes, I mean, I had my bathing suit on, but I put on the wetsuit over it, and the wetsuit even started to freak me out, because it's really tight. It's tighter than my leather pants, and it's heavy. It's blubbery, like a seal's skin, it feels like, if you've ever pet a seal. That's right, I've pet a seal. I've been to SeaWorld. I didn't know when I went that it was a bad place. I was a little girl. So there's a thickness to it that is more than your average pleather pant or leather pant, right? And it's like, it feels like your new skin. And you do feel like chum for whatever out there with teeth might mistake you for something else. And it feels claustrophobic. It's not something you can quickly get out of if you're having an anxiety attack or something. Because it's wet and that shit's heavy and it clings to you. So then we go to the beach and he puts the surfboard, which is huge! I didn't realize how big those motherfuckers are. They're enormous, like 10 feet tall and so heavy. I mean, I'm going to say it felt to me like 40 pounds. I'm going to Google how much does a surfboard weigh. Oh, 6 or 7 pounds? What? I swear to God, it feels like 30. I'm an idiot. What an idiot. I'm glad I looked that up. So, because it's so unruly, it's not like there's a handle on it and it's a suitcase. Okay, so I've carried heavier suitcases than I have surfboards, but it's a cumbersome thing. And so we put it on the ground on the beach. Now, I'm having 3 lessons. So part of me was like, why am I even in a wetsuit? I seriously thought that we would go over the basics of swimming. Because I said to him, like, I didn't think it would involve swimming, if that makes sense. I thought you paddle out on the board and then you stand up. So I don't need to swim. You know, like, and if I get into trouble, I can doggy paddle. But I don't need to actually swim. And I told the guy that, he's like, it's all swimming. I'm like, really? I'm like, I have to hold my nose underwater. He's like, well, you can't do that. I'm like, I'm going to have to. So we're going to have to agree to disagree on that. And he's like, you're going to need both hands at all times. And I was like, I only got one for you, buddy. And what about the one-armed surfers who get eaten by a shark? They don't have both hands. I guess then they still don't hold their nose, or they'd have no hands. So, okay, never mind. But, well, no, but so then I have one hand free. So he's like, you really, what made you want to surf if you can't swim? I was like, I just wanted to skip to surfing. He was like, well, let's just take it one step at a time here. So we do some yoga kind of moves on the board. And that's what brought me to thinking I would be good at it, because I do yoga and I have the balance and all that. And I was on the sand, really good. We were practicing the art of jumping up. So you're kind of kneeling on the board with your feet in a certain position, and then you jump up, and that's when you catch the wave. It made a lot of sense from the sand. So then we get into the ocean. Now, I'm not really thinking, when you watch a surfer surfing in shallow water, or what looks like shallow water, where they're not that far out, it looks like they just walked. It looks like they just walked to the edge of where it's no longer, you know, where the edge of where it goes over your head. And then it looks like, in my estimation, they would lay on the board, paddle out for like 5 feet, and then just stand up. And then, you know, in the calm water, and then a wave comes. Like, when you watch surfing from afar, it sort of looks different than it feels, you know? And so, and I also maybe pictured, like, maybe there's a little boat we ride out in. And then I just sort of drop in with my surfboard. No. So we stand at the shore, and he's like, okay, let's swim out. And I was like, well, you mean paddle out? And he's like, sure. So you get on the board, and you start paddling out, and you realize, oh, shit, I'm swimming. Because when you paddle out with both hands, you can't hold your nose. Because you will fall off the board. And you can't get anywhere with one hand. You'll start going in circles. Now, the thing is, the ocean that looks so calm, and it is if you're standing in it and the waves just lap up at your knee. But when you're laying down, facing them, going against them, they're crashing against your board. And it's literally like casual waterboarding. It's just water, like splash, splash. Every 3 seconds, you just are getting a face full of water. And I was like, and I was learning really quickly how to breathe out my nose. There was actually no time to breathe. Like, breathe out your nose, wherever, however you're doing it. Out your nose, in your mouth, whatever. There's no, you've got to time the breathing so that you're not taking your breath when the wave is hitting you. And the wave is always fucking hitting you. So I was exhausted paddling out. I was shaking from, like, physical exertion. I was I'd probably be a little, even though I still haven't managed to swim, but the physical exertion I'd probably be better at, because the last 4 years I really got into shape, and this was like the beginning of that. So I had just gotten divorced and I dropped a ton of weight and was at this like cracky level of like thin but no muscles. So it was like fat thin, if that makes sense. Like thin, but like if you touched me, it would just be loose, you know? And so it's like, I didn't have a lot of stamina. And, but I was still like relatively, you know, in okay shape, like looked fine, but like hadn't been, you know, like working out in like a year. So I get on the thing and then I'm like, we're going so far out. And so then the waves you don't catch are still huge and you have to, like, it doesn't look that way from the shore. It looks like when a surfer catches a wave, that was the one wave that came by in 10 minutes. There are constantly waves. They're just not big enough to ride, but they're big enough to tow you under. So you're just constantly, he's like, okay, we're not going to catch this one. And I'm like, looking back, all right, cool. And I'm like totally under. And he's like, oh, sorry, you have to dive under the wave if you're not going to catch it. I'm like, I got to what? So I, now the surfboard is tied to my ankle, which seems like I'm tying a weapon to me. Now I know it's actually helpful because it'll help keep me afloat, but it feels like it's also going to knock me on the head. Like this thing seems like my adversary. And so I was just freaking out. I was like, I'm not going to catch a wave. Like I would get up on my board and I would get into the position and then the jump up part, like just jump up, like meaning like go from a crouch to a stand, jump up. I like couldn't physically bring myself to do it. It was as if you were standing at the edge of a cliff and someone was like, bungee jump. You're like, I can't. I don't know what I was afraid of. And just getting knocked over by the wave behind me seemed risky because then what do I fall and hit my head on the board? I just thought, I got it. I never even thought I would go this far. I got it. I understand the sea. She is not for me to control. I've always been a big believer in the ocean as a example of a great higher power, a force in the universe bigger than us. We don't need to get wrapped up in trying to control every aspect of our lives. Let the world plan some things out for us. The ocean is a great teacher. Just don't mess with it. It knows what it's doing. Doesn't need my help. And so I was happy, feeling very zen, very lightheaded as well. I literally thought I got stung by a stingray because my chest was hang on one second, sorry. Hang on one second, you guys. I have a press call in 20 minutes. I was like, I thought a stingray was stinging me because my chest hurt so much. And then it was an asthma attack. So I'm like, and I couldn't get air in. And I never get them that bad. I usually just get a little tickle in my throat and then I'm not taking a deep breath and my voice gets very husky. And then I take a puff and it's fine. But I came to realize I have kind of like an exercise-induced kind of asthma. So if I'm going to do heavy, heavy cardio, you're supposed to take a couple puffs before you do it. And I hadn't done that. So I was like, I need to get my inhaler. So we paddle back out to shore. And once I hit the sand, I'm like, I'm good. I use my inhaler. The guy's like kind of impatient. He's like, are you liking this? I'm like, I love it. I just don't think it's for me. He's like, I think you're pretty good for someone who doesn't know how to swim, who's just starting. I'm like, that's great. But you named all these things. And what you named is traits. Alex, what's on the board? Traits of someone who should not be in the ocean. Hey, for someone who doesn't know how to swim and has never surfed before, you're doing pretty well. Like, don't go in the ocean if you're that person. So I just said, hey, you know, I can't do this. And, but I thank you. And this, you know what? This is more than I ever thought I'd do. And I crouched on a surfboard and that is good. He's like, no. And then he does some weird Zen shit on me. He's like, I forget what he said. I wrote it down. I actually wrote about it in my next book. He's like, don't. He's like, you've already caught the wave. You just haven't physically done it yet or something, you know, something like that. I was like, all right. It's like we're one with the ocean. You know, we're not supposed to fight it, but we can join it. That's what I said. I said, I don't think I should fight the ocean. He goes, I don't think you should either. I think you should join it. Oh, all right. Can always get me with like a stupid thing like that. I'm like, okay, I think I can be one with the ocean. It is all in the mind. So we swam out. This time it was a little easier. I saw my old friends, the waves coming at me. I was like, I remember you guys from 10 minutes ago. And I jumped up on the board. I mean, I crouched up on the board. And there was this one moment where the wave was small enough that I jumped up. And I rode it in for 4 seconds. And I could have rode it all the way in, but I was nervous and I jumped off. Isn't that just life? And he was like, you did it. And then I was pissed that I didn't like record it. But once I was up there, it did feel easy. My feet were gripped to the board. I felt heavy, like I was part of the board. I get it. It was 3 seconds, but I knew this feeling is not for long. And I jumped off. Because a lot of people don't get up on their first try. I go, great. Well, I have set a new world record. Goodbye. And then we got off the board. And he's like, are you going to come back next week? I'm like, totally. I already knew that I wasn't. I was so sore. It is such a full body workout. Oh my fucking God. If you surfed even 3 times a week, even twice a week, you seriously would never have to even like get out of bed and walk. You would be ripped. I was so sore head to toe for like immediately. Usually, you know, when you work out the next morning, you're sore. It was like the next hour I was sore. I was shaking and I was elated. It was like an endorphin rush I'd never had. It was also sheer terror and adrenaline, but whatever it was, some chemicals that had been lodged were moving. And it was actually, I was like on a manic high for like a day, but then I went home and collapsed into the deepest 3-hour nap. And it was great, but it was not for me. But I was so bummed because I was like, oh man, I thought I was going to be like those people in Back to the Beach, but they make it look so fucking easy, but it's not. It's not. So I'm not really a California girl in that sense. I think I'm more, even though I don't do drugs, like someone that would be at a party that Led Zeppelin is at in the 70s on Laurel Canyon. That's more my California. I don't really fit in anywhere. I don't totally partake in any kind of culture. But anyway, but I was so... I'll tell this story. This is a weird podcast because I had, again, all these notes, but then these memories keep coming to me and I wanted to tell. So maybe I'll save these for another time. Yeah, I was going to talk about, okay, I just went to Starbucks, by the way. Why does everyone end every sentence with for ya? Everybody, every single person, man, woman, gay, straight, black, white, Chinese, everyone. I walk into Starbucks. The barista's like, what can I get started for ya? And then, anything to eat for ya? Stop saying for ya. Then I go down to pay the other barista and he goes, anything to eat for ya? I'm like, we asked about the eating. I see the food and I'm not putting that, I don't eat that shit. And then I go, no. And I'm at the counter and he's like, all right, that's $3 and let me get that change right to ya. What is the for ya to ya? What if we all sound like Sarah fucking Palin? And she's not even in style anymore. For ya, to ya, for ya, to ya. Stop it. You. Y-O-U. Yeah. Is not a word. Hey, ya. Hey, ya. Remember when everyone convinced you had to like that song? I was like, that song's a piece of shit. Even cool people I know that don't like that kind of music were like, that's a good song, though. Like, come on. And I was like, all right. And I got into it just to shut everyone up. And now I'm going, no, that song fucking blows. I found it in my iTunes, like, once. And I was like, why do I have this? Like, this goes now. Hey, up, 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 up. It's a war song. By the way, I forgot the 4th of July weekend did not end last night with the fireworks. It's Sunday and now Monday. People taking Monday. Barbecues on Sunday and Monday. It's madness out there, you guys. I know you're like, I'm hearing this 5,000 weeks later. I seriously overheard a conversation at Starbucks this morning where this woman was like, Billy, did you have a good fourth? And he's like, yeah, we barbecued yesterday. He's like, today I'm going to a different barbecue. I'm like, oh my God. Listen, I like doing the same thing day after day too, but my version of that would be like laying on a beach. Like I could do that for 3 days in a row. But that's different, isn't it? Like, didn't you get sick of the same? I don't know. Who fucking knows, right? So anyway. So yeah, I was going to talk about all this stuff. But I think I'll save it. Oh, this is one thing. So I'm reading these articles. Like I'm doing all this press for my tour. And people are so nice on the phone. And then I get and read the article and they write these intros like they're writing a college paper. Like they have to have this thesis about who I am and women in comedy. And every article starts out naming like other women in comedy ones that are like totally famous. And they're like, it seems maybe Jen's next. And it's like, next for what? I'm already doing my dream. And I know to some comedians, I heard one say the other day, like, well, if I fail at this, the worst that can happen is they send me back to the comedy clubs. It's like, yeah, well, that's where I'm at. And I fucking love it. I'd like to do more, but I'm so sick of getting other women's names in articles about me. You know, like my guy friends, like when Chris Frangiola does press and he gets written up about for a club, they're not like, oh, and like 19 other, you know, Jon Stewart has a TV show, so maybe Chris is next. You know, it's like, why do we have to mention other people? Like, it's just as sexist to do that. And then this one woman was like, Jen's from a new emerging young crowd of comedians. No, I'm not. That was 20 years ago I was. I'm 18 years in. I'm 41. Right about how I'm 41 and I'm uniquely my own person. From this, to this new crop of comedians, like blah, blah, name some names, that love sex, which sure, okay, but I don't talk about that in my act, really. I mean, maybe I do. There's no problem with that, you know. But they could use some work on their personal lives and their abs. No, bitch. I don't need to work on my abs. I actually have visible obliques, hon. And a completely flat stomach. Now, not that that's important. But it's important to me because I love Pilates and I have a fucked up back. And I've been working for 4 years on this sway back issue that I've had. And I've almost corrected it and found a way to... I love Pilates and dance and all that. And that's what I do in my spare time. So I don't want to be told that a feminist has to be someone that has a little weight on her and shows it off proudly. That's great too. But that's not who I am. I'm different. I'm more into like working out and shit. I like being strong. I like looking at my body as like a creation or like a little capsule that I'm borrowing while I'm here on Earth. And I like to sculpt it up. I think it's fun. It's like a hobby. I'm not talking like Arnold Schwarzenegger sculpting. But it's not anti-feminist. A man can do it. So why can't a woman be into like muscles and shit? So, and my abs that are visible, I mean, it's tiny. It's not like when you see like a real like woman on the cover of like fitness magazine. I don't mean it like that. But I don't like this presumption that I'm like everyone else or that everyone's the same. It's like, did she ask me about my abs? No. It was just like this weird article. It's like, what is that even about? Why do you even have to talk about our bodies? And then now people talk about your body in a positive way, but it's like the opposite and weird. Like they don't give a shit how they look. It's like, just stop talking about people who don't give a shit about how they look. I give a shit. It just makes me fucking crazy. Like I don't understand all the inherent sexism even within women when they write about other women. It's like it's programmed into their brain to mention women, 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 bodies, bodies, bodies. Just write about the goddamn things we talked about. I promise you it's more interesting than your little fucking thesis. If you want to write about women in comedy, then go fucking go to grad school or something. Don't get off my, don't involve me in your little thesis. And that's the other thing I was going to talk about. I'm into this book, The Sexual Politics of Meat. Now, listen, I don't think everybody should not eat meat. I don't have an opinion about what you should do. I only do what I do, and I don't judge anybody. But what I do find interesting is there are a lot of hardcore feminists out there who make fun of vegetarian and vegan lifestyles, which I think is incongruous because let's say that you're like, I have a really close friend who grew up in the South and she loves barbecue and she loves meat and we eat totally differently. And that's most of my friends. And we never talk about it. And I don't think they're not feminists. And I think they're amazing people. But because they don't make fun of meat eaters. I mean, they don't make fun of vegetarians. They just like meat the way that I just don't. And we, it's not even an agree to disagree thing. We don't even talk about it. But I've been noticing some going on the road. A lot of women comedians have jokes about how vegan women are like this dumb people. And they're, you know, really skinny and you could push them over with a small wind. And, you know, maybe people who don't eat meat are thinner, but that's not even always true because, again, I had the vegetarian bloat when I started. And I just think that that's kind of an attitude that's been bought and sold to us, that vegetable equals weak, when actually it's the strongest thing. Ever try to pull a vegetable from the ground? It's pretty easy to kill an animal if you've got the rifles and the weapons. And I know it's actually tough to skin an animal and all that stuff. So I'm not implying, but both are strong manly things to do or strong womanly things to do. There should be no gender assigned to this stuff. And that's what blew my mind is that, what's it? In the sexual politics of meat, it says, it doesn't only offer a critique of sexist ads on behalf of animal activism or a vegan strip club or sexist ads from Burger King or a gentleman's date club. It affirms there's a life of integrity that you can live when you recognize women's equality. The sexual politics of meat is about making connections. It's about liberation from harmful and limiting beliefs. Where is it? It's just the way things are marketed. Like, okay. The sexual politics of meat is the assumption that men need meat, have the right to meat, and that meat eating is a male activity associated with virility. Recent examples of this include Burger King ads against chick foods, asparagus quiche, in which men proclaim the right to eat meat and throw a truck off an overpass to affirm their maleness. Another example is a U.S. male military camp with a ceremony that concludes with a steak dinner being given to new recruits by their fathers, that is, older recruits. That's the sexual politics of meat, too. A 2006 Hummer advertisement features a man buying tofu in a supermarket. Next to him, a man is buying meat that sweats, gobs of it. The tofu-buying man, alert to and anxious about his virility because of the man with all the meat next to him in the line, hurries from the grocery store and heads straight to a Hummer dealership. So it's things like that where we are linking strength with meat and weakness with vegetables and inherently putting feminine qualities on the vegetables. So if you don't, if you eat all the meat in the world, great. Pardon me. But I find it interesting that the people who make these jokes have said to me, oh my God, you have so much energy up there. It's like, yeah. Not because I don't eat meat, but I'm just saying because there's all kinds of people. People who eat meat who are healthier, are really healthy. People who don't eat meat. I'm just saying, like, it doesn't really matter anymore, your diet. Like, we're adaptable. We're humans. We can eat whatever and we'll be fine. You can live till 99 and eat saltines if you want. That's what my Nana did. So I'm not necessarily saying that everything works out for you if you eat healthy. But what I am saying is that it is not a sign of weakness. And people, if you don't see them eat, there's no such thing as eat a hamburger, you're too thin, or eat a hamburger, that'll toughen you up. It's that's been bought and sold to you. And when women regurgitate sexist male advertising motifs in as their beliefs of being strong women, that's what bothers me. And so I feel like everyone needs to check themselves. And what is the point, really, of your women who are vegetarian jokes? I would like to know. I'm not offended, but I think, oh, I feel sad for you because you're not really understanding why you're even saying that, right? If that makes sense. Okay. So lastly, really quick, I always loved the California thing. When I was little, loved the California girls, like the California songs, you know. And so when I was little, one of my favorite songs was California Girls by the Beach Boys. And we talked about Barbara Ann last week. And so when when David Lee Roth, or whatever that awful band he was in, Van Halen, I don't even know. I never liked that music. When he covered California Girls, I was like, this is awful. And I just assumed 103 like I did, and that this was shit music. So I always took dance lessons by myself after school, and I wasn't in the popular group, but I had group, but these girls, so some of the popular girls were forced to take dance lessons, and they saw that I was good, and they wanted to have me as part of their dance in the middle school dance competition, which was really just like a talent show, but there was going to be a winner. And I was going to do a dance, a tap dance to a song called Devil Takes a Holiday, which is a jazz standard. And I was going to wear a top hat with horns on it, just like a little nod to the people that understand that song, which no one knows the name of that fucking song, but I didn't know that. And I had my tap dance all worked out, and my mom was excited. My tap dance teacher was excited. And then the popular girls asked me to help them choreograph their dance. And I asked my mom, and she's like, do your own dance. Do not go with those girls. They don't even know how to dance. And I go, well, I think I can do both. And she's like, all right, but don't you abandon your own dance. So then I start rehearsing with the girls, and I bring my tape recorder and my tape. And they're like, we want to do it to California Girls. I'm like, all right, I'll bring the boombox. And I bring it over and I play the Beach Boys version. They're like, what is this? I'm like, this is the real version. They're like, oh my God, we want to do the David Lee Roth version. We want to do it just like the music video or something like that, which I'd never seen. They wanted to basically wear bikinis and put towels around themselves and have the popular boys come on stage and take their towels off. And then they're like, and then we'll just like dance around. I'm like, you don't want to do fucking choreography? And they're like, no. And I was like, no, you guys. And so I was like, I can't wear a bathing suit in front of the school. I'm 12. Like, my mom will kill me. Like, I have a tap dance worked out. And it was this weird thing where, like, I kept getting in deeper with the girls and deeper with the girls. And then, like, you know, the day of the thing came, and I just abandoned them. I was like, I'm not doing the California Girls dance. And they're like, what? And I was like, sorry, I'm doing the tap dance. Like, I just lied the whole time and said I was going to do it with them. And it was like a big shambles. And then they were doing their California Girls, like, my fucking tap dance ate shit. It bombed. People were like, aw. That's probably why I get a visceral reaction when people go, aw. And I'm like, not aw. I'm fucking doing wings, you assholes. Like, and then I got off stage to like polite clapping. And I was like, why didn't that nail it? And then the popular girls went on, and the first strands or strings or guitar riffs of that song played. And everyone's like, woo. And then they did their dance, and like, they killed it. And I'm like, they're not even dancing. They're just bopping around. I don't think they ended up wearing just bathing suits. I think they had like beach kind of outfits on. Like, I don't think the principal actually let them go in bathing suits, but the boys did whip their towels off and stuff. And I'm like, what the fuck? And that is show business. That is show business. You work on your tap dance by yourself the whole time. Nobody gets it. Some people come out on stage and rip off a music video that already exists. And everyone's like, yeah, that is show business. That is who I am. The little tap dancer that's like, I thought people would like this. And that's where I'll be on tour this summer. Come find me. I have to make this a shorter episode. I'm so sorry. I'm about to get a phone call in a couple minutes. But I think this was a fun one. We told some stories. It's 45 minutes. What do you want? Maybe I'll do a longer intro. There you go. That's my answer for it. And we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Until next week. Oh, I should go out on California Girls. I'm so unprepared. Yeah, okay. California Girls. Oh my God, I don't even own that song. Maybe I do. I can go on YouTube, right? YouTube, California Girls. I wonder what the first, if the version, oh my God, now my, California Girls, Katy Perry and Snoop Dogg. Just, Jesus Christ, can't we just have California Girls? All right, you guys, seriously. Until next week, have fun. Oh, I should have started that later. All right, everybody. Until next week, have fun. Okay, until next week, have fun. Until next week, have fun.